Session number 1680, reel 2.
Mr. Proctor, reel 2.
Right, now I've got to think of the name of the airport.
Not Lyd.
Lyd. That's it. It would be about 2 miles from Lyd. Now we went in here. They were reluctant to admit us. They did have 2 soldiers on the gates, or guards, if you wish. But I don't think of the officer's name much. I'm sure it was Hamilton. I'm not sure about the officer in charge of us at the time. I'm wrong. Manners killed at Sidibrani. Lieutenant Manners was in charge. In we go, into the compound. Now, he lined us up with strict instructions to touch nothing in the way of jewellery, valuables, or anything of that nature. He says, because I shall search you when you come out. There will be Jewish heads, people there, who will also see what I'm doing. Which was fair comment. Right, he said, get the men over there, women and children over there. And we went through all their homes. Not pleasant. I didn't enjoy doing this. But what came out of that was the number of volumes of Mein Kampf. And I collected them up. Not I alone, but several of us. And we took them out to the officer in due course of time. I said, this is a bit of very all right, isn't it? He said, it's not our reason to wonder why. And we didn't really get anything else apart from that.
But you were looking for arms.
We were looking for arms, subversive material, information, pamphlets, anything that might be derogatory to or harmful to British forces in the areas, or area, if you like. We lined up again. And under his command, we turned out our pockets. And with 2 senior Jewish men who examined our pockets, not so much inside our pockets, but the stuff we'd put down, to ensure that there would be no valuables removed or anything of personal value to the people who lived there. When they were assured that we was clean, we thanked them, or the officer thanked them on our behalf, and we left. This was just one incident. I mentioned this purely because when we talk about Jewish people, and I, later on in my life, I experienced a great deal of them. I found it surprising that people who had escaped from Germany, 35, 36, 37, 38 onwards, would want to keep this material to read. For what purpose, I'll never know. But it did seem strange to me. Our job was, as it was to come later, to deal with these problems when they arose, when the war broke out. But why did they have this material? There was lots of other little bits of bumf, but nothing of subsequence which would have ensured our senior officers or civil administration to do anything about it, if you understand. In other words, one could say we were showing the flag.
I'm surprised that In this period, which must have been about 38, 39...
39. Now, we were talking about... I think the war had already started. Yes, I'm sure it had. This could be... I don't think now. When did we take to the Western Desert? 40. This could have been either between, say, November 39 and possibly February of 1940.
The winter of 39.
The winter of 39, if you like. And it always surprised me why this should happen.
But what I was saying was that I'm surprised that you were concerned about the Jews when I thought at that time there was an Arab revolt going on, and the main problem for the forces of law and order in Palestine was coming from the Arab side. Did you not find that?
Well, as a soldier, I can only speak as I saw. We had two enemies. We had the Jews and Arabs. We wasn't popular with either. People may now today, oh pooh, that's nonsense. It wasn't nonsense. Neither side liked us. Little or no information could we get out of Jews. We got, I would think, more out of the Arabs, or the powers that be did, than they did out of Jews.
That was another thing about the information gathering. You told me about, in the Arab village, how you were attempting to get information for the police.
Mm.
I'd always thought that it was the police's job to get the information and then pass it on to the troops. What?
Not in all cases. You see, if you read back on what I said earlier, from these observation posts, we watched the number of people entering these villages and the number who were leaving. Now, at the end of the day, those figures, if they didn't tally, allowed us, as occupation forces, if you like, to find out why.
So you were gathering information.
Gathering information. At that particular time.
Did you ever get shot up at this time in Palestine? Attacked?
There was an incident when we was on the main road coming back for some reason to Tel Aviv. A sporadic amount of gunfire from the hillside, which was returned by Lewis guns, and keep moving, if you understand me. We kept going on. But during our period, from there we moved down into Jericho. That was a hell-bent dump if I ever saw one. It was very hot down there. I mean, you're looking at 1,760 feet from east of the sea level. But once again, training, bridging facilities across the River Jordan, which was a very fast-flowing river, down at Alamy Bridge, General Alamy Bridge. Exercises. But then I became detached from the regiment there, and I was sent to the 8th Railway Company, Royal Engineers, escort duties. This was a pleasant job, actually. What we had to do was escort troop trains from Portside up into Jerusalem, etc., various branches where troops, married personnel, and indeed civilians, Jews and Arabs, travelled. Now, the object of the exercise was, A, to ensure that these trains ran smoothly, freedom from problems with Jews and Arabs, and to ensure that we kept the line opened. And what we used to travel on was a small armoured car on the rails leading the train. Now this particular armoured car had a long arm off the front with a box and two wheels which rested on the track. It was full of sandbags. So if there was anything, it would hit that, and indeed us, if it was a big enough blast. And the train would obviously stop. We also had men in the cab, one man in the cab with the drivers, and one or two scattered throughout the train, just to ensure that there wasn't any problems. I thought that was a smashing job, personally. I enjoyed it in so much as it was different. We wasn't foot slogging, we were sitting down. It was great talking to troops and people who'd come home or coming out from England and things of that nature.
Were there any attacks or casualties?
No, not in my time. No, occasionally what we was doing, when we were going through the hills with a train, we would perhaps fire off two magazines, those round helping the hills, just to ensure that we knew where we was going and where we was about, and we was armed.
Just at random?
At random. Just a little burst. It thrilled the people on the train, you know, things of that, or frightened them, whichever, I'm not sure. And the war clouds were building up, obviously. Things were going on that I, at that time, as a private soldier, didn't concern me, if you understand me. It was at a much higher level, obviously. And then we returned to Jericho. And then we set off from Jericho and we marched back to Jerusalem. That was some march up to the place called the 76th, etc. We encamped just out of the city of Jerusalem, once again, soldiering as an undrummed type of life that it was for soldiers, exercise, drills, weapon training, baths, and that kind of thing, and seeing that men were well fed and healthy. And then the colonel paraded the regiment to tell us that we was going onto the Western Desert. At last we will probably get some real action. And this is what happened. We entrained again, and places one hears about today, El Alamein, etc., were just pinpoints on a map. It mean nothing. We detrained at I can't quite remember the name.
Don't worry.
But I could show it to you in there where exactly it was. The battalion detrained at a spot below El Alamein of this era. I think the 16th Infantry was the Queen's and the Welsh Regiment spread over an area. We was in a huge box by the escarpment. And this is where we lost five men, strange enough, being that officer I spoke to you about, Lieutenant Manners.
You said it was Sidi Barani.
Well, yes, it wasn't. I'm just remembering now.
Mirza Matru?
No, it was below Mirza Matru. It was this box. What happened there was we wasn't troubled with anyone, apart from the bloody flies and the sandstorms, and etc. The Italians started to come over, but flying far, far out of any ACAC reach. I mean, there were bloody dots in the sky. And they dropped anti-personnel bombs, or thermos-type flask, And if you refer to the Colonel's record, he'll probably mention the same thing. And of course, following morning, one silly bastard picked it up. Here, look what I've got here, sir. Now, there were four men killed. Two, three, four. And I believe three badly wounded. Which caused a great deal of consternation to the colonel and various other ranks. And of course, they were buried that evening. And then, after training, swimming, sleeping, grumbling about the sand in your food and this nonsense, around about the 7th of December 1940, orders were to move forward. Now that was some sight. When we got up on the escarpment, we looked along our lines. One could see trucks, troops, for miles. General Wavell was the OC commanding forces those days. He came down the line talking to each regiment in turn of what was going to happen. And, you know, as young soldiers, we were keen. Let's get up there and get Adam's attitude. For a couple of days we went forward then. Now the actual battle for Sidi Barani was the morning of the 10th of December. But in the meantime we was moving up, if you understand me. And as we moved up, one could hear heavy guns, you know, rumbling away in the distance, which suddenly, I think, sobered us all up, in so much as, aye, aye, this is a real thing, you know, you think. And just a reflection of a humble soldier, myself, on the evening of the 9th, as we were sort of bivouacking, a group of us stood around talking, and a very good colleague of mine, by this time we'd been promoted, incidentally, Lance Corporal Proctor and William Forsyth. We were great friends, and we were talking, and with men and what have you. One or two men were coming to me and saying, would you take these letters for if anything happens tomorrow? I said, well, I'm going to get killed, same as you're going to get killed. There's nothing special about being a Lance Corporal. And at dawn, we knew there was nothing special about us. Now, you can say what you like about Italian troops. Their artillery was second to none. I would say, equally as accurate as the German artillery, because all our transport were destroyed. And unfortunately, my best friend was killed there. Before he'd even fired a shot, he was hit with what we term a flying onion. He jumped up onto a burning truck to grab a couple of ammunition boxes, and he hit him right in the back.
What was a flying onion?
It was like a shell. Made a funny noise. It was like a bubble of flame. And he did. See? They were, you know, all over the bloody place. Intermingled with heavy artillery shells. And that was Bill dead. But you know the funny thing? We, all of us, suddenly grew up. If you understand me. We hit the deck further along because we was lined up for advancement. And our B Company A Company was on our right flank, C Company was a wee bit in reserve, and D Company was on the left. Our B Company took a hammering. B Company lost all their officers, and indeed our RSM was killed there. One has private thoughts of why he was there. I think he wanted to be in with the men when his job was to see that things and supplies came up to the front. There's a very excellent picture of him in here.
That's your regimental history you're talking about?
Yes, yeah. He was killed. And later to be, Captain Tidmarsh was wounded. What the hell was he called?
Don't worry too much about name.
No. Another officer who died a couple of years back living in Hampshire. He finished up Lieutenant Colonel of the regiment as well. He was badly wounded. And quite a few men we lost. And then came the signal. Forward, fix bayonets. And the ground at this instance, where we was like a bloody billiard table. And because the ridge was well on, and we ran forward. And the obstacle in our way was an anti-tank trap, which was a deep dugout position, if you understand me. And in we go. Well, getting men out of there can be a problem. You're in shelter, you know. And Bardwell blew his whistle. A few curses, and NCOs that we were, a few curses, get forward. And over the top we went, and up the hill, and took it out. Now, there was three main ridges here. Where A Company was, and where we was. They were the stumbling blocks to taking us to the City Brownie. Understand me? And we cleared it out. There wasn't a great number of there was no prisoners. They'd dead or ran away, scuppered back down the hillside away. And we rested on our laurels, if you like to put it that way, thanked ourselves that we hadn't been killed.
What proportion do you think ran away?
I would think the strength in those positions was probably about 60 or 70 men. I would think possibly a third. We were still running when we took the position. The rest were dead or in the, where they'd been pounded, where the 75 pounders had hit their dugouts and things of that nature. They'd nowhere to run. We picked them up at leisure later.
So two-thirds were killed?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did you charge with a bayonet yourself?
Yes, I did. I took my section in, fixed bayonets, and up the hill. And without being boastful, my section was first over the wall. Over and dropped down. And then it was a melee of legs, arms, feet, firing. And the rest came over, if you understand me. There was nothing in it in the sense that I was holding a position, if you understand me. I was first over the wall along with my section. And grateful to be over the wall. If you can understand what I'm saying.
Because they couldn't fire it.
Well, no, because we were going to go end-to-end combat. But then they saw the steel and the scream of the Argyles and they were gone. What could run? The wounded was attended to later by our people, And...
But did you have to bayonet anybody?
No. No.
Would you have bayoneted somebody?
Yes, I would. If it meant my life, yes. That will be a later story.
What were you screaming?
Obscenities. Well, I suppose I shouldn't put it down there, but...
Why not?
Well, I think the main thing, as for soldiers all days, was the letter F. You know, forward. You know, the bastards and things, this kind of language. And then...
So you didn't have a regimental war cry that you...
We had a piper, but unfortunately... His pipes were sanded up, so he didn't, you know, a piper's in. I think Captain Bargewell's objective was to get as many men forward into positions of where the Italians was with the least number of casualties. That was the object of the exercise. We can all die, but the object of the exercise was to get us in there and take up a position to ensure that there was no counterattack. That was in his mind, I'm sure it was. I'm speaking now on behalf of a man, but I can't. I don't know what he was thinking. He's probably like the rest of us, grateful to have lived through that particular episode. I know when I reported to a lieutenant, well, he was just lighting a fag. By then, of course, the firing ceased. The enemy was on the run, and he was sitting, like, with his back to the wall, if you understand me, the perimeter of this encampment. Chaps were lighting fags, chatting excitedly to each other, that they were alive. I reported back that we was okay, one man short. He said, "Who is it?" I said, "I'm not here." They scattered around because they were in the trenches looking, obviously, as soldiers do, for prizes of war, if you wish. And eventually, I found this man. He had the most peaceful look on his face I've ever seen. He'd take one straight through the back.
Straight through his forehead.
That's right. And he was propped up against a sangha, or a defensive position. And he was sitting there, looking straight to his front. But you know, the strange thing about these is... I suppose it's not right to say... There was... No one felt grief. No one felt sad for the dead. Can you understand what I'm saying? I think we was heartened to what had to be done. It was a question of get yourselves organised, we're moving off. And we moved off.
But did you get some reaction later when it sank in?
Oh yes. That evening, and it was evening, and one doesn't realise how long you've been chasing the enemy and fighting until the sun starts to...